again for the rule of our dear brother who passed away 6 months ago, Brother Masood Rahimi. Please recite again as Surah Al-Fatiha. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم مالكي يوم الدين صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
Allah mentions this verse in the Quran that He wanted all Muslims to recite daily and many times a day, and it is in Surah Al-Fatiha. And it is something that every one of us is obligated to recite. And Allah wants us to recite this so that we can know what this means, so that it is a reminder for us over and over again. A daily reminder. In fact, 10 times a day, you know, we are obligated to recite this. So even if one does not recite it, for example, in a mustahab sense, he has to recite it as wajib at least 10 times. And if he's asking us to repeat it, and if he's asking us to repeatedly know this verse and know this, what it is, so it means that there is a message in it that is so important that he wants us to know it every day, and also that if we do not remember it every day, it will be harmful for us. Because if he made it an obligation to read it every day, then it means that there is a reminder in it which is helpful for us, and not remembering it and not knowing what it means is harmful for us. And hence I explained what it means last week. Maliki Yawmiddin, Allah is the master of that day of judgment. The day on which all actions will be recompensed. Deen here is in the meaning of jaza, as I explained last week. That Allah is the one who is the master or the owner of the day of judgment. Now when we see from last week, as I explained this, now we need to just understand a little bit more, because of the fact that we are trying to remember and give the reward of this speech and this amal that we're doing to a brother who died. And since death is a, for example, the issue right now, here we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it clear that their master of the day of judgment is Allah. But when we look at it, here also Allah is the owner of all things. Right, Allah is the owner of all things. Allah's ownership is different than our ownership. When we own things, it means that our name is on the property, our name is on the car, but we don't actually own it. We don't actually own the thing. We are not the owner of that thing. I own the house. My name is on the house. But you see that I don't actually own the house. Because if I own the house, then the house should be under my authority. The land should be under my authority. But we see that when we die, we go into the land that we own. And the very land that we own is going to destroy us. And we cannot even tell that land that, listen, I own you, do not touch me. The land is telling us that your name is on my property, but you don't own me. The one who owns me is Allah. Right? So in other words, we see that Allah is the real owner of things. Our ownership is a fictitious ownership. It is in name. It is not something real. It is just in name. It is a legal ownership per se. You know, for example, you see, when we say we are owners, what does it mean? What does it mean when we say that we are owners? Right? For example, if a person owns money, let's say he has a lot of money. He is rich. He is a millionaire. He has a lot of money that he owns. Now, when we think of ownership, we say that, okay, you know, he, because he owns his money, he can use it any way he wants it. If he wants to buy a mansion with it, he can do that. If he wants to buy a boat with it, he can do that. If he wants to put it in an account, he can do that. If he wants to invest it in stocks, he can do that. If he wants to throw it in the ocean, he can do that. If he wants to take all that money and throw it in the ocean, he can do that. By ownership, we mean that he has the choice and the ability to do whatever it is required. Whatever is required, he is able to do that. If you can grab the child from there. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So now, when we see that, this is the idea of ownership that we have. When we say ownership, when we say that a person owns something, he can do what he wants with it. Okay, we can understand it at that level. Now, let's say that this person who is a millionaire has a child, his only child. He's just born, right? I mean, he's just born, he just came into this world. As he comes into this world, the father dies, right? That millionaire is dead, and now his child is in this world. The child inherits all his wealth. You see, the child inherits his palace, his wealth, all his things. He inherits that. When the child inherits all this wealth, now in the books it is written that he is the owner. I mean, until then the adult was the owner, now this child is the owner. This person who is the child, he is the owner now. Now this child, he is the owner of all this money. So now when he is the owner of all this money, what can he do with it? You see, in legal terms, he is the owner. By law, he is the owner. He can't use it. He doesn't know how to spend it. He doesn't even know how to destroy it. I mean, if someone tries to get his wealth, he cannot even protect it. You see, such are the owners of this world. This is also called an owner. When you say Malik, that child is also a Malik. In fact, he's a Malik of more than you. Right? Now, we know and we have seen also that this dunya, what kind of masters they make. And what kind of owners they make. You know, a lady dies, a very rich lady dies, and she leaves her whole inheritance to her dog. Now legally the dog is the owner. He is called an owner. And he has employees working for him, taking care of him. I want you to understand who is called Malik in this dunya. You see, that dog is called a Malik. That dog is called an owner now. You see that? Now understand, this is an owner that we see. Now in this dunya and in this world where these things, dogs and these children who are helpless and who are so incapable are called owners. So now you understand that when we say Allah is owner, then people are thinking that, well, just like, for example, this child or this dog has his deed written in some office, Allah might have a deed, you know, written in some office that He is the owner of this world. The idea is that when we say Malik, that Allah is the owner, is different than how we are the owners. We are fictitious owners. We don't own anything. We don't own the house we live in. We don't own these things. It is Allah who's the owner. And when Allah is the owner, it means that He is the real owner. He actually owns it. In other words, that thing is under His authority. It cannot move without His authority. It cannot grow without Him saying it. It cannot even bloom without Him saying it. So every flower that blooms is blooming because Allah tells it to. Every leaf that falls is falling because Allah tells it to. Every tree that grows, it grows because Allah tells it to. Every animal that does what it does is because Allah trained it to. Everything that is here in this world is owned by Allah. You see, this is the ownership of Allah. His is the real ownership. Our is the fictitious or this unreal ownership. We just have a name on the property that we own. You see, we have a name on this land that we own. This is all we have. So now, when this is the case, now let me just move a little bit ahead so that you understand. You see, this ownership that we have, when we say this is a legal ownership or by the law, what does it mean? I'll give you an example so you can understand this better. Send me a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You see, let's say a person earns his first $1 million. He's a millionaire. And he gets all that $1 million in $100 bills. And he makes a bet out of it and sleeps on it. $1 million, right? So he puts all that under his bed and he sleeps on it. This is my $1 million, right? Or whatever, 10 million, whatever it takes to make a bed. Right? So now he has his money here. He is sleeping on his money. Literally sleeping on his money. So now that he is sleeping on his money, when he's sleeping on his money, so now what happens? This person who is sleeping on his money, now you see, that night he's a millionaire. Now at night, the law or the state or the government, the treasury department, decided to devalue the money and make it null and void. And say that this currency is null and void. I mean, it happens, you know, that I had this one Iraqi friend who in Iraq was a rich man. He put all his money in Iraqi notes, right, in Iraqi currency. Right, and he escaped to Iran. Escaped to Iran, he lived there in Iran. That's where I knew him from. And he brought out all these notes and said, listen, this is equivalent to close to 800,000 US dollars. All these bills he showed me in a suitcase. He said, so how much is it worth now? He said, nothing. He said, how come it's worth nothing? It's useless now. Because they're out of use. It's finished. Oh. Those notes are finished. If I had invested in gold, that gold would have been worth something.
Yes.
Or the land would have been worth something. But since I had it in bills, right, now those bills are devalued. Now it's finished. So this person who slept on his $1 million, when he went to sleep, he was a millionaire. When he woke up, he was a millionaire. Now that notes that he has is not even worth handing to children to draw on because you can't even draw on that. You see that? He has become so useless. So in other words, this person had become a millionaire because of the law that made that bill had this value. Because of the law, he became what he did. Now the law changed. Now the value dropped. And he's finished. In other words, when we say we own things, our worth, our value, whatever we own, is decided by the law that is made there. This is the worth of our things. This is our ownership. This is how we own things. Our ownership is not real. It comes, and who knows what happens to the next. Our ownership is such that we don't even own the things that we can say is ours. Understand this. And I want you to know this real well. When we don't own anything, my friend, understand. When we don't own anything, and when Allah owns everything. So obviously, when Allah speaks of Himself and declares His ownership, why didn't He declare His ownership like His rububiyyat? Meaning He says, Alhamdulillah, Rabbul Alameen. He is the caretaker of the universe, of everything other than Allah. He takes care of it. He is Rabbul Alameen. So now when He is declaring the fact that He is Lord and takes care of things, He's saying He takes care of the whole Alameen. But when He is declaring His ownership, He is only declaring that He is the owner of the Day of Judgment. You see that? When, on one point, when you see that, He is the owner of everything. We know that. We are not the owner, He is the owner. He owns everything. So how is it and why is it that Allah, when He says about Himself and declares His ownership, He is not declaring. For example, He should have said, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malikul Alameen. He would be right. He is the Malik of the whole Alameen. He is the owner of the whole Alameen. Why is He saying that, no, I'm the Malik of the Day of Judgment? You see? This is an issue, my friends, that we, when we look at it, then you will understand that since Allah is the owner here, He owns it, but you see, He is not declaring it. He's saying, I'm not the owner. Now when you look at this, I want you to understand from here. Why is this? You see, Allah says, and listen, I brought you here in this world. I did. And by different means and by different reasons, I let you own things. For example, if you work and earn money and buy something through trade, you can become the owner of that thing. Right? When you, for example, give a gift to someone else, by the law of hiba or gift, He said that you can be the owner of that thing. If I give you something, you own it as a gift. By the law of inheritance, if someone inherits something, they own their inheritance. Right? He says, my law, and through different things in my law that I sent for you, I made you owners of different things. You are the owner of your property, you are the owner of your money, you are the owner of this, you are the owner of that. Now all of you became owners. You see, all of you are owner now. You own something or the other. I own my shirt, you own your pants. Right? And, people own, the world, the rest of the world, at least they own their house. In America, we mortgage it. Right? In the rest of the world, they own their house. They pay the money, they buy the house. So here, we take a loan on it. And still we declare our ownership on it. This is how bad we have become. That it's still unknown. Someone else owns it, but we are saying we are the owner of it. You see that? The issue is that he said that, listen, I made you owner. Allah's law, he allowed you to own things. You see, others, if they allow you to own it or not, it's still, you know, not their choice. You see, if any other government comes along and says, listen, we are telling you, you can own this land. First, you need to ask the government, is this yours? You see, is this yours that you can say that you can have it? I mean, this is yours. But when Allah reveals His law, He is the real owner of the land. So if in His law He allows you to own things, then it means that you actually own it. You see, understand this, because He is the real owner. If America says, listen, we are going to give Arkansas for sale. You know, I mean, this is exactly what the Indians who were here, right, asked, and they were shocked when America said, we want to buy this land. They were like, how can you buy the land? It's not yours. It's not ours. This is God's land. Right? How can you buy a land? This is not yours or mine. Right? The issue is, they understood that this is God's land. So when Allah says, listen, I have revealed the law, and in my law you can own land, then it means that I am the real owner and I'm allowing you to become an owner. So you own things. Everyone is owning things. And everyone has become an owner. Whether a small owner or a big owner, everyone is an owner. Right? They all started owning things. Now Allah is reminding us and saying, listen, in this dunya I made you all owners. Everyone owns something or the other. You all own something. But as a reminder, I want to remind you of another world. I want to remind you of another time, another day, another realm that is going to come. Where, remember this much, you are, yet you have owned something in this dunya. But do not think that you will have the same status there. Do not think that you will have the same status on the Day of Judgment. There, no one will own anything except for me. No one will own anything except for me. Even when you go on the Day of Judgment, when you are standing there, a declaration will be made, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. Whose kingdom is it today? Whose kingdom is it today? You will not even have the choice or the authority or the guts to answer that and say it's yours. You wouldn't even have the choice to say that it's yours, Allah. Right? You all will be, meaning your voice will be such that it will be completely stopped. It will be completely stopped and there will be nothing that you will say. My friends, understand this. What is the Day of Judgment? Allah says, on that day, no one is the owner except for me. No one is the owner except for me. Your stand there, when you will stand before me, will be such that when the declaration will be made, whose kingdom is it today? Meaning you will not even reply back to that and say it's yours, Allah. You won't even have that choice to say that. Allah will declare it Himself, لِلَّهِ وَحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. It is Allah's. Allah's is the kingdom on that day. No one will own anything. You see, my friends, and those people who used to say that I am the leader, or I am the owner, or I am the king, and I am these things, and أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْعَلَىٰ, I am your big lord, and I am this, and I am that. All of those people in one simple sentence that will be said on that day, he says, نَحْنُ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. with one sentence that will be said, Allah says, we will shut their mouths. We will shut their mouths. And all their mouths will be shut. Closed. So now you all stand before Allah owning nothing. Not even the ability to talk. Not even the ability to say anything. You will be completely now understanding why Allah is saying Maliki Yawmiddin. Allah on that day is the owner. Understand this much. Here I made you all owners. But Allah is the owner here. Even those who Allah allowed to talk. You see, when we are there, Allah is saying that our mouths are shut. There are certain people that Allah allowed to talk there. You see, even the people that Allah allowed to talk, they will not demand anything from Allah. See, even they, it's not that. For example, those Anbiya and the Prophets and Imams that Allah has said that, you know, they have the right to talk there. They will not say that, oh Allah, you know, this is our demand. No, they will also be requesting Allah. And invoking Allah. And asking Allah. Requesting Allah. They won't... On that day, there is no one who can really open his mouth. Meaning Allah has said that. You know, la yamliku shafaat. That they do not own any shafaat on that day. There is no intercession, there is no one talking on that day. You know, there are those who will talk. So it's not that, for example, you know, I'm a rich guy here, and I knew someone who was poor, and we go up there. He's my friend, so I tell Allah, listen Allah, you know, I was rich back there, you know, so I have some form of, you know, my credit score was very high. And so you know, at least you know, that should be useful here also. Right? And that should be a little bit useful here also, you know, let me, you know, would you help out this guy? You know, I mean, he's with me, you know, I mean, he's my friend, help me out. That won't fly there. You know, I mean, Allah is saying, no, your status in the dunya, your status or your ownership in dunya is worth nothing here. Is worth nothing on the day of judgment. That's why Allah is saying, listen, you all, I made you all owners. I say I'm Rabbul Alameen because I take care of everyone. But the reason I didn't say Maliki Yawmiddin is because I made you all owners also. I made you all owners also, but I want you to remember that on that day of judgment, do not think that this ownership will last. On that day, only I will be the owner. Only I will be the owner. I mean, what do we own? We don't even own the breaths that we take. This is our own. This is our own breath, right? Our heartbeat. My heartbeat. I can't even say to my heartbeat, stop, or to go faster. No, I don't even own that. I don't even own this breath that I have. You know, if the time comes to die, I can't even tell my breath, one more breath. Let me say one more thing to those who I love. No, nothing. You don't even own that. So now when you're standing before Allah, what do we own? Understand here, from here, understand. What do we own? What is in our ownership? We don't own the house that we live in. We don't own the land that we invested in. We don't own the cars that we drive. We don't own the clothes that we wear. So what do we own in reality? What do we own? Understand this. This is where you see Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
He tells us this situation, we stand before Allah, and what do we really own? Imam Ali says in Dua Kumail that we read every Thursday night. He says, what do we really want? He says, Ya Sari Arvida, Ighfar Liman, La Yamliku, Illa Dua. He says, O one who is so fast to become happy with someone else, forgive him who owns nothing but dua. The only thing that we really own in this world is this dua that we ask to Allah. This is that real ownership. If we own anything, this is this dua. When we make dua, this is in the day of judgment. You can't demand, you can't order, you can't say anything but this dua. This request, this pleading, this dua that we make, this is that thing that Allah said, I will let you own this. I will let you own this. You don't own your homes, but you can own dua. You don't own your cars, but I can let you own dua. You see? And then the one thing that Allah gave us to own is so valuable. That all the things that we claim to own, when we compare them, they are nothing before that which Allah gave us to own. You see that? This things that we own, the stuff that we own, really, when you compare that to dua, imagine what kind of difference it is. What is this difference? Allah says, I will let you own dua. Yeah? Let me just explain to you a little bit about the difference between dua and the things that we own in this dunya. You see, whatever you own in this dunya, whatever you get, whatever you acquire, everything that you acquire takes effort acquiring. Even if you want to steal it, even stealing requires effort, even though you don't own it, really. In legal terms also, you don't own it. You know? Someone else is still someone else's. You know, you're using someone else's property. Right? But if you want to own it, even in legal terms, you have to work for it. You have to go to work, earn money and buy it. Or do something by which you can buy it or make it under your ownership. You need to work for it. See, everything in this dunya that you want to own, you must work for it. But dua is the only thing that you don't need any work for. You see, in dua, you don't need any effort to own dua. The only thing you need is the sincerity in your heart and the understanding that you are a servant of God. These are the only two things you need. You need the sincerity of your heart and the understanding that I am a servant and He is the master. If you have these two things in mind, then your dua is being given. Your dua is being done. No words are required, just the sincerity of your heart. Your heart needs to be pure and clear. Right? This is what you need. This is dua, my friends. When you see what dua is, this is what it is. Now when we look at it, and when we see it, what this means, and how important this is. You know, there is a hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam. The Imam had said, you know, everyone owns something, you know, whoever has a treasure, right? When they put the treasure, right, whenever they put a treasure, they put it in a safe place, like a locker, a safe box, or the bank, wherever, right? Let's say you have a locker in the house, that's where you put your valuables. Right, no one leaves the valuables outside in the lawn. Right? So now what happens is that when you put the valuables in the locker, everyone does that. But would you give the keys to someone else? Or would you hold the keys yourself? I mean, let's say, you know, you went and bought a locker, and I mean, lockers themselves are expensive. Right, so that itself is a valuable. Maybe it's more valuable than the stuff we have. Yeah, people spend more money on trying to keep their own stuff safe, but, you know, and what it's worth. The stuff itself is not worth as much as what they spend it on. So now you bought a locker, it's expensive. You put your valuables in the locker. When you put your valuables in the locker, now you have the keys. You see, the keys are important. Because that opens the locker. You will hide the keys or you will protect the keys. Now if you put everything in the locker and give the keys to someone else, what's the use of that? I mean, right away, I mean, what's the use of that, that now you, someone else has the keys? You don't have the keys. You see, everyone who has valuables will hide them and in a box, in a treasure, but they'll keep the keys themselves. Imam says that Allah is the owner of the treasures of the heavens and earth. He is the owner of the treasures of heavens and earth. He has all the valuables in the treasures. The treasures are with him, but he has given the keys to you. He has given the keys to you. Someone asked him, where? I didn't get the keys. Maybe I wasn't there that day. He said, the key that Allah gave you is this dua. The right to ask him, the opportunity to supplicate him. This is the keys Allah gave you. He gave you these keys so that you can ask him. Now, you see, if you want to go to someone and ask him for something, if it's in the middle of the night, they won't open the doors. But you see, Allah is that doorkeeper, and he is that person, holder of treasures, that even the best time to go to him is when everyone else is sleeping. You can approach him when everyone is sleeping. He doesn't feel disturbed. He doesn't feel disturbed, and he says, open my treasures and take whatever you can get. So the limitation is not from Allah's side, the limitation is from your side. How much are you going to take? The restriction is from your side. How much are you going to take? He is willing to give all. He is willing to give an infinite amount. But it's our inability to take what we can. We run after so much useless things that the treasures of the heavens and earth that are there, we don't take that. So my friends, what I was saying is this. We don't own anything in this world. The only thing we own is dua. That's why Allah is saying, Maliki Yawmiddin. He's saying, remember, on that day, I am the only owner. No one else is going to own anything. Not even the ability to speak there. You won't even have the ability to say anything in front of me. Right? Don't think that you can, for example, everyone will know, all excuses are finished. There's nothing to, there's no excuse you can give in front of Allah. Finished. That's why he's saying, Maliki Yawmiddin, remember that. That day, you don't even own excuses. Here, we give excuses, this and that, try to hide our weaknesses. There's nothing that's hidden. There's nothing that you can hide, there's nothing that you own. The only one who owns is Allah. Now, if Allah gave someone the ability to speak there, then it is those chosen people of Allah, those people of Allah, that Allah allowed them to speak. So now He allowed them to speak. He says, yes, if there is shafa'at, if there is intercession, if there is someone who can speak there, then there are people who I have chosen that they can speak there. If the messengers and the imams, when they speak, this is the thing. And now you see, Imam also, when you look at the Imam, when you look at the Messenger of Allah, he said that Allah has given me the choice to speak on the Day of Judgment. Allah gave me that authority to have shafa'at on the Day of Judgment. To have intercession on the Day of Judgment. This is a treasure Allah gave me. But I haven't used this treasure. I am safeguarding this treasure for my ummah. For my nation. I am safeguarding this treasure of speaking and getting their sins forgiven for the ummah. So you see, Rasulullah is saying that I have a treasure from Allah that no one of you have. And I am safeguarding this for my nation. That this shafa'at that is there, I am safeguarding it for you. So if Rasulullah, all the wealth that he has from Allah, he is going to give that to the ummah. He wanted the ummah to also realize that they should also give whatever treasure that they have accumulated in this world to the Prophet and his mission. They should also give whatever they have accumulated here for his mission and for his cause. At least have that in mind. If he is willing to give his treasure to you, and for your sake, for the sake of the ummah, then you also give your treasure for the Prophet and for his cause and for his mission. Otherwise, just like history tells us, you know, when the caravan of Imam Hussein was taken to Sham, and the head of Imam Hussein was put against the wall of a house for the night. It stayed there for the night. In the daytime, everyone saw a writing on the wall. And it says, "Atarju ummatun qatalat Husaynan." Atarju ummatun qatalat Husaynan shafa'at jaddihi yawma hisab. He says, does this nation expect and hope for the intercession of the grandfather of Hussein after killing Hussein? Does this nation hope that they are going to be interceded by the Messenger of Allah after they killed his grandson? You see, that question was asked and everyone read it. And this is, my friends, you see, that if we want the shafa'at of the Prophet, then we must give back that which we have for his family and for his mission and for his cause. That is what we need to give back so that we can get the shafa'at, that treasure that Rasulullah has for us. And hence, if this is the situation, and if this treasure that Prophet has on that Day of Judgment, he will speak on those people's behalf who stood by his cause and who were on his mission and worked for his mission and his family. He will speak for them and he will have the right to speak on their behalf. This is why we need to make dua to Allah as much as we can, not only for his mercy but also for the shafa'at of Rasulullah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path.
Ameen.
To give us the wisdom to understand his guidance.
Ameen.
Hasten the reappearance of Imam. Make us his helper when he comes.
Ameen.
Allah ask you that you accept this ibadat of ours.
Ameen.
And that you give the reward of this ibadat to the Ruh of Masood al-Rahimi. And that you help him in all the places of the hereafter. Allah, we ask you that you give peace to his soul and that you, inshallah, raise him in the shifa'at of Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad.